Hello there, how you doing? Joe here, and welcome to this week's episode of the Your Lifestyle Business Podcast. Now, today I am walking through the 8 key steps to building your very own lifestyle business. And the podcast actually accompanies the mammoth post on my website called, funnily enough, How to Start a Life-Changing Online Lifestyle Business, which actually goes through each of these steps in much greater detail. So you can have a listen to this podcast and then you can follow along using that post, which I will include in the show notes. I hope you enjoy today's podcast. I tried a little experiment. I hope it works. I won't spoil it. I'll let you listen in and see what you think. But the most important thing is that you take action, because nothing will ever happen unless we make it happen. So without further ado, here's the podcast, and I hope you enjoy it. Wouldn't you love to build a business you can run from anywhere in the world, whether that be your kitchen table or a beach in Fiji? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Your Lifestyle Business, the show where I bring you into my life as a traveling entrepreneur, and along with some of my awesome guests, give you tips and strategies for building your own freedom business. Welcome to the show. Let's make it happen. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing? Jo here from Your Lifestyle Business. And I hope that today's podcast is going to work, actually. Bit of an experiment. But I was sat at home this morning and I was thinking, you know what? I don't want to work here. I want to go down to the beach and I want to work by the beach. And one of my jobs today was to record my How to Start Your Life-Changing Online Lifestyle Business podcast. And I thought, what better place to record that than at the beach? So here I am. I'm down at a beach. It's called Laguna Beach in Phuket, Thailand. And the only challenge I've got is the sea is quite rough. So there's quite a lot of background noise. Hoping this is going to work. If not, it's going to be a great practice session. But I'll do a bit of jiggery-piggery with the editing when I get back. And fingers crossed you're listening to a fairly clear audio. So we are talking about how to start your life-changing online business in today's podcast. And this is exactly what I'm talking about, a business that funds your lifestyle. So as I said, there I am at home this morning thinking, I just want to go and work down the beach today. That's the kind of choice that we're going for here when we're building a lifestyle business. Now for me, it's the beach. For you, it might be the local coffee shop. It could be the park down the road. It could be wherever you want it to be, your kitchen table. It's entirely up to you. But having that freedom of choice is the beauty of running your own, your very own lifestyle business. So I want to walk you through the 8 key steps today of starting your online lifestyle business. And I have a 17,000 word step-by-step post on my blog, really going through this in much greater detail, which I'm going to link to in the show notes. Plus, I have a 400 odd page free ebook called The 30-Day Guide to Starting Your Online Lifestyle Business, which I will also link to in the show notes, and you can get hold of that. And that really goes into even more detail than the blog post, step-by-step, showing you exactly how you can start and grow your own online lifestyle business. But today, I'm just going to take you through the key 8 steps, all right? Are you comfortable? Are you listening carefully? Yeah, get on with it, Joe. All right, number one. So you're going to choose your niche. Now, this is probably one area that people really get stuck on. I really find that so many people come to me saying, Joe, I don't know where to start. How do I get going? I don't know what my passion is. I don't know what my purpose is, etc. And you know what? It is challenging. But it's actually very rarely about that we don't know what we want to do, and far more the fact that we're scared that there's too many other people out there doing what we want to do and we don't think we can compete. So my message to you is, do not be afraid of competition. I am currently working on my blog. I'm in a very competitive niche. The online marketing space is hugely competitive, and I've just managed to hit page one on Google for an extremely competitive keyword that has 97,000 searches a month. And I've managed to get on there through just good content and sheer hard work. So never be afraid of competition. Competition shows that there is a strong market. So when you're thinking about choosing your niche, you want to be asking yourself, what kind of business model am I really attracted to? So do you like coaching, for instance? Does that attract you, being able to coach people and help them with their, whatever it is you want to help them with, their life, their business, their fitness, their health, their relationships, whatever it might be? Perhaps you want to become a blogger. Perhaps you love blogging, or you want to become an author and write books. Maybe you want to do video courses and you want to become an influencer and grow your following on social media. I mean, there's so many different types of business. You have to actually ask yourself, what am I really attracted to doing? What kind of business would I really like to run? You might be interested in e-commerce, for instance, and selling physical products. Yeah. So first step is figure out what business model would you really like to run. And then you can start asking yourself, what are you really interested in? What are the things you like to talk about? What are the things you like to do? So for instance, perhaps you want to do video courses on Facebook because you love Facebook. That's kind of how I started selling video courses on Facebook. Maybe you really enjoy writing and you want to help people improve their writing skills. Maybe you're an absolute ace at origami or squats, or I don't know, whatever you're interested in, and you think you could create a really good video course or a membership site around that subject. So think about, what are your key interests? What do you love to talk about? I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday who loves cooking, for instance, and she is going to start a blog and YouTube channel with her daughter who also loves cooking. It's a hugely competitive niche, but we were looking up the keyword Asian cooking, not as competitive. And as we're in Asia, they thought, hey, maybe we'll specialize in that to get our blog and our YouTube channel off the ground. And then the way that they can monetize that business is they can sell cookbooks. They could become an Amazon affiliate for different cooking equipment. They could do a drop shipping business and sell their own cooking equipment. They could do video courses on different Asian cooking styles, things like that. My daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, she loves makeup. So we've just created a small e-commerce store and we're doing print on demand makeup. Another good friend of mine loves jigsaw puzzles. Once again, she could start a store selling jigsaw puzzles. There are so many weird and wonderful different niches out there. There's a huge, huge niche in magic, in magicians and all that kind of stuff. So no matter what you're interested in, there is very likely going to be a niche for that. And you're going to be able to build a business. So that brings us to the next part of choosing your niche, which is, what are the kind of people you want to work with? The simple fact is that even if you're really passionate about something, if there's nobody out there that's passionate as well, then you're probably not going to sell anything. So whatever niche or interest that you pick, you need to make sure there's a buyer's market for it, there's a passionate, hungry niche out there for it, and that you're going to be able to sell a product or a service in that specific niche. So think about the type of people that are also passionate about that niche and whether they're the kind of people that you want to work with, that you want to attract, that you want to support, that you want to help transform, whatever your business is going to be. Another thing you could think about, if you're still not 100% sure what niche you want to be in, is, what skills would you love to improve? What would you like to be better at that you could maybe start a blog or a YouTube channel or a podcast around as you learn? So for instance, something I'm doing at the moment is SEO. I'm learning about SEO, and believe it or not, as a total beginner, I'm seriously considering doing a little video course on SEO from one beginner to another. Why not? Don't know much about it yet, just learning. I'm reading all these blog posts, I've got all this information. Why not put all of that down into some videos, show people how to do stuff, give it away for as a lead generator, or sell it for, you know, a small amount while I'm still learning and updating, get some feedback from the people who go through it. And what I'm doing there is I'm teaching as I'm learning. And that's exactly how I actually started my business back in the day in 2010, people watching over my shoulder as I learned how to use Facebook fan pages. I did it again in 2015 as we built our seven-figure Amazon business. I had people watching over our shoulder as we taught ourselves how to sell on Amazon. So think about, perhaps, what skills would you like to do, and then you can teach as you learn, if that makes sense. And then lastly, when thinking about your niche, maybe you want to scratch your own itch. Maybe recently you solved a problem in your life that you can now go out and help other people solve their problems. Maybe that's how you're going to find what it is you're really, really interested in. But once you have decided on something, my friend, pick one thing. Please pick one niche. I cannot say this enough. I've been saying it for 10 years, but the simple fact is you can do anything in life, but you can't do everything. And building any business is going to be really, really tough. Now, maybe you're a multi-passionate person, and that's absolutely fine. But what you could do then is you could say, right, my niche is going to be niche blog sites. I'm going to absolutely just invest all of my efforts and time in SEO, and I'm going to go and build 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 different niche blog sites and all these different areas of interest. But my one thing is, how do I grow and expand niche blog sites? Maybe that's how you kind of deal with your multi-passions. But the simple fact is when you go out, you really do need to be picking one thing, because it's hard enough building one business, let alone trying to diversify yourself across lots of different interests, and you'll just run out of steam and you won't get very far very fast with any of them. So number one, pick your niche. And there are some tips there on picking your niche. The second thing, now this is going to sound a little bit woo-woo, bear with me please. We will get to the technical stuff of actually building your business. But really key when building your lifestyle, your online lifestyle business, is to know your life and business goals. This is really important, because many people will go out and say, well, I want to build a $1 million business. Well, you may not need $1 million. When we first came to Thailand 10 years ago, we didn't need anything close to $1 million. Now we don't need anything close to $1 million to have an amazing life. You can have an incredible life on an extra $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 a month. That is miles away from $1 million. So you really need to start with knowing what your life and business goals are. So to do this, I urge you to do what I call the perfect day exercise. It's an exercise I saw described by Frank Kern on stage many moons ago, and I do it myself every single year. I sit at the beginning of the year and I imagine where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing at the end of that year. Now, as I record this, it's actually October 2020, and so my perfect day exercise for the end of this year is blown sky high because of what's happened this year. I'm not going to be in Vegas, clearly. I'm not going to be celebrating New Year's Eve down the strip of Vegas, which is where I really wanted to be, because I can't leave Thailand at the moment because everybody's locked down. So sometimes life is going to get in the way of your goals, but the idea is to create what you believe would be your perfect day. Now, you might have a multitude of perfect days. I do. I have work days, chill days, exercise days, travel days, whatever. But the goal here is to start thinking ahead and asking yourself, in an ideal world, what is your ideal lifestyle? You know, where do you want to be? Who do you want to be with? How many hours a day do you want to be dedicating to your business? And remember, you might say, well, I don't want to work at all, Joe. That's my ideal life. I don't want to work. And fine, if that's your ideal life, then great. As you grow your business, you'll start to outsource. You'll get people in to build your business with you, and you'll put yourself in a position where eventually you won't work in it at all. But the goal of a lifestyle business is that you're actually doing something you really love. So for instance, I love blogging. I love podcasting. So for me to sit on a beach and do this, well, quite frankly, this is a bit of a perfect day. I'm not going to deny that. This is a bit of a perfect day. So what's your ideal lifestyle? What's your perfect day? Where are you? Where do you live? Who do you mix with? Who do you network with? How much money is your business bringing in every month? What do you do? What are your most favorite things to do in your business? You know, do you love to blog? Do you love to make videos, but you just don't get the time to do that right now? Do you love to make, maybe you want to start a jewelry business, but actually your favorite thing is making the jewelry. So you build a business around that and you start to get people in to do the marketing and stuff like that because you want to spend your days making the jewelry. Does that make sense? So what you're doing with your perfect day exercise is you're going somewhere for a few hours and you're really visualizing, where do I want to be? Who do I want to be with? What are my favorite things to do? What do I want more time in my life to do? And write all that stuff down, because that is really important that you know what you're trying to achieve by building an online lifestyle business. Those, by having that clear in your head, that is going to be what gets you through some of the down days, and there are going to be down days, okay? Now, I want to touch on purpose before I move on to step three, because I think a lot of people get very caught up in, I don't know what my purpose is. So I want you to reframe that question, and I want you to ask yourself, what is your purpose now? Not what is your life purpose, what is your purpose right now, today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year? What is your purpose? Because we can get very caught up in what our whole life purpose is. What is our calling? What is our passion? What is the one thing that we were sent on this earth to do? Well, maybe there isn't one thing. Maybe you were sent on this earth to do multiple things. I know I was. My purpose changes from year to year, to be honest with you. So I ask you, what is your purpose right now? That's going to make it a lot easier for you to determine what are the things that you really want to get out of your life now. What are the things that are driving you forward right now? And that's going to help you start to get very clear on what it is you really want to achieve with your lifestyle business, rather than trying to think of this really big, all-encompassing life goal that apparently we're supposed to have. And some people, I think, have it. Some people who know from age 5 they're going to go and be a doctor, or they're going to be a singer, or they're going to be a pro gamer or something like that. But for the rest of us, we just don't have that kind of clarity. So we need to remove those barriers to entry and create some clarity that we can go with. So ask yourself, what is your purpose right now? And then once you've done your perfect day exercise and you've figured out the things that are really important to you right now at this moment, I urge you to try and come up with what I call a BHAG. I don't call it a BHAG. It actually came from a guy called Jim Collins, who wrote the book From Great to Good. And it's your big, hairy, audacious goal. Don't know where he came up with that, but that's what it is. Your big, hairy, audacious goal. So what is something that makes you feel uncomfortable to even say out loud? You don't have to declare this, you don't have to go and tell anybody, but let's say your most biggest, hairiest, audaciousest goal would be to start a YouTube channel and have 1 million subscribers. I mean, it's just so out there, right? But it could be your biggest, hairiest, audaciousest goal. I'm just totally making up those words there, obviously. So once you've decided on your purpose and your ideal lifestyle, sit down and write out, just for you, for your eyes only, put it on a little piece of paper, stick it somewhere. Nobody can ever find it except you, to go and look at it in 5 years' time or something like that, or tell the world. It's entirely up to you. Actually, I digress slightly, but I never forget watching a documentary a few years ago on the Spice Girls. Do you remember the Spice Girls? I think they broke into the US. If you're the UK, you'll definitely know them. I'm pretty sure they're broken to the US as well. Anyway, I never forget watching the documentary, and Victoria Beckham had written her goals of becoming a singer and being in a band. Bearing in mind that Victoria Beckham's probably not the most talented member of the band, but she'd written out these goals and she'd stuck them in a little pot that was on her mantelpiece at home or whatever, and all her goals and dreams came true. So fascinating to watch. Anyway, so the power of the mind is huge. So sit down, write out that big, hairy, audacious goal and put it somewhere where you can look at it every so often and remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. All right, I need to start running through the next ones, or I'm going to run out of time. All right, so step 3, we are now going to plan for profit. I think this is a step that many people miss. They kind of say, well, I want to go and run an online business. I want to be a blogger. I want to be a coach. I want to be an influencer. They kind of miss this key step out, which is, well, hold on a second. How are you actually going to go and monetize? What are you actually going to sell? What is your product? What is your offer? What is your service? And so we're going to start with that. But before we even get there, following on from your perfect day exercise and your big, hairy, audacious goal, you're going to start with, what is your ideal lifestyle budget? We need a number and we need to get specific. So having worked out your ideal day and your ideal scenario, now how much money do you need to make that come true? So let's imagine that your ideal scenario is traveling around the world with your family, house-sitting people with pets, going and exploring and seeing different experiences, running a blog and just basically enjoying life and exploring the world. Let's just say that that is your ideal. Well, I did a podcast with a lady who that is her life, the lovely Eden Rudin. I'll put the link below this video, a podcast with her last year. And she needed $2,000 a month to make that happen. $2,000 a month. When we first came to Phuket 10 years ago, we only needed $3,000 a month to make that a reality. And we weren't just here in Phuket, we were traveling around the world at the time. So your ideal lifestyle actually might be a lot less than you currently think it is. So you need to sit down and work that out. Now, if you're somebody who has slightly finer taste in life and wants to travel the world by private jet and go on helicopter travels and stay in 5-star hotels, well, your ideal lifestyle budget is going to be slightly different, right? Maybe you just want to pay off your house and not have any debt and pay off your car and be able to pay for your kids' college or look after your parents as they grow into old age or look after your spouse or whatever your ideal lifestyle is, only you know. But you need to sit down and pen out your ideal lifestyle budget. Now, I cover this in a lot of detail in my blog post, so go and check that out. But you need to be thinking of things like, how much do I need to live? How much do I need to have a roof over my head in either mortgage payments or rent or accommodation or house sitting or hotel costs or whatever? How much do I need to travel if that's going to be your thing? How much do I need to eat? What kind of food budget do I need? What do I need in stuff? What kind of things do I want to buy? What do I need for my experiences? What kind of things do I want to do and explore? You know, sit down and write down exactly how much money you need per month to live your ideal lifestyle. Now, once you have that number, that's the number. Stick that up somewhere. And let's say, just totally off the top of my head right now, that it's $5,000 a month. That is how much you need to live an absolutely fabulous lifestyle. So stick that up somewhere. You know that's the number you're going for. That is what you need to be generating in profit from your business. You need to be clearing completely, cash in the bank, $5,000 a month. So what you're now going to do to plan for that profit is you're going to go out and you're going to start looking at what competitors and collaborators in your business niche are doing. How are they monetizing? So by now, from step one, you should have been thinking about what type of business you want to be in and choosing the niche you want to be in and deciding your business model. So once again, I'm just going to go with a complete random example. I'm actually going to use my friend's cooking blog as an example. So let's say that she's decided that she loves cooking, she wants to run a blog in cooking, and she thinks off the top of her head that she might monetize it through some cooking books, maybe an Amazon affiliate. So what she now needs to do, what you now need to do, is go out and find all of the different competitors or potential collaborators in a similar market, and how are they monetizing? What are they doing? Maybe they focus on getting traffic to their site and they've signed up with something like Mediavine and they're monetizing their site through advertising. Maybe they've got a huge YouTube channel and they do sponsorship deals and they got sponsored by brands and that's how they're monetizing. Maybe they sell cookbooks. Maybe they sell their own cooking equipment. Maybe they do video courses. Maybe they, you know, whatever, however else they might sell stuff. Maybe they do consulting and coaching. Maybe they do offline cooking courses and they have, you know, X number of people come every year for a 1 week immersion in Asian cooking. I don't know. But you need to go and have a look at all of your competitors and collaborators and look how are they monetizing their business and then do a potential income exercise for you. Now, once again, I go through this in a lot of detail in the blog post, so go and check that out. But what I mean by a potential income exercise is, for example, let's say that you're going to do a cookbook and that cookbook is going to be $20. You're going to sell it for $20. It's a nice meaty cookbook with pictures and all the rest of it. You're going to sell it for $20. So you're going to do $5,000 divided by $20 to see how many of those do you need to sell a month. And the as she reaches for a calculator, 250. You need to sell 250 cookbooks, right? To do $5,000 a month. Now, obviously, I have said that you need to be clearing $5,000 a month in profit, and we know that there's going to be some costs associated to your business, but without really getting into the nitty-gritty detail of profit and loss and all the rest of it, that gives you an indication that in order to generate around $5,000 a month, you need to sell 250 $20 cookbooks. Now, what if you also increased your traffic and you are going to also sell advertising on your site and you could make a couple of grand in advertising a month? And what if you are also going to become an Amazon affiliate? And the way to do this income exercise is to go out and start Googling this stuff. How much does Mediavine, as an example, pay per view of a website? They'll probably do it per click or per thousand views or something like that. You'll need to go and Google that and have a look so you know, oh, well, if I can bet my blog up to 20,000 views a month, I know I'm going to earn $500 a month off Mediavine or something like that. I don't know the numbers. But that's how you do it. You work out, you go and get, all this stuff is available to you online. You can start with my blog post. The show notes are, the link is in the show notes because I go through about six different key examples of where to go and find this information online. But there's a whole thing on how much you earn as an Amazon affiliate. You can also affiliate for other people's programs. There'll be other people out there with cooking programs and courses that you can become an affiliate of. So you just need to do some digging and do a potential income exercise in order for you to figure out roughly how much of what in an ideal world that you want to sell do you need to sell. And this then gives you a really clear idea when you start to go out there and build your brand, build your audience, of what your end goal is. Imagine if you say, do you know what, I want to go and start a cooking blog, but you've got absolutely no idea how you're going to monetize it. So you go out into the world and you say, right, well, I think I might do some YouTube videos. I probably ought to be on Instagram. Maybe I should be doing some stuff on Pinterest. I should probably post like once a week. Yeah, maybe I should do some keyword research. I mean, just flailing around in the dark, you've got no idea. But if you know that you need to sell 250 cookbooks, for a start, that gives you a product. So you're like, right, I'm going to build a blog, but I'm also going to be doing a cookbook to go with that blog. And I know I need to sell 250 of those. So let's say you've done your research and you know that on average, a sales page on a blog converts at around 2% of traffic, right? So you want to make 250 sales. My maths is not great, but around 15,000 views a month, I would say 2% of that is about 300 sales. So let's say that you now know you need to get 15,000 hits a month to your site to make 300 sales of your cooking book. How much clearer is that? How much clearer is that? You know now that you need to go out and get 15,000 views a month on your blog in order to convert that to 300 book sales to generate your $5,000 a month. So now you're going to go out there and you're going to say, right, I need to start this blog and I need to find every which way I can get to get 15,000 views a month on my site. So I'm going to go and do SEO and I'm going to keyword research. I'm going to get all my stuff on Pinterest because that's a search engine in its own right. I'm going to go and find my target market, probably on Facebook. So I'm going to really go for it on Facebook and post all my posts and maybe even do some Facebook ads. Leave all of that entirely up to you. But can you see the difference between saying, I'm going to go and do a blog and then I think I might monetize it later and have no idea which direction to go in, versus I know I need $5,000 a month in order to achieve that. I need 250 sales of a $20 cookbook, and in order to get 250 sales, I need 15,000 hits a month to my blog. See how clear that now is? So that potential income exercise is going to give you so much clarity with exactly how you need to build your lifestyle business. I cannot emphasize how important that step is. That step alone is going to really push you towards success so much more than somebody just flailing in the dark, really not knowing what it is they want to achieve. All right. So once we plan for profit, we know our business, we know what we're going to be selling, we know how to monetize it, we know exactly what our numbers are and the kind of path we need to take in order to achieve that. So we need to now start thinking about how we're going to grow our business. And step one is deciding who our target market is. So this is step four of building your lifestyle business. I'm just confusing it there. And step one of the next step. Identify your target market. All right. So start thinking, who is going to buy my cookbook? Who are the people that I'm gonna attract to my website? Who loves Asian cooking? And really get down and detailed with this. This is not just about empowering 40 plus women or working with dads over 30 or dealing with teens or whatever. Get detailed. Who are the people? What are they like? What are they thinking? Why do they want to buy your product? Why are they even interested? What's going on in their life? Think about that person. Who is that woman that loves Asian cooking, or that man that loves Asian cooking? Start really delving into their life. Go onto Facebook, look up people who already love Asian cooking and start looking at their profiles. Yes, it's going to be a diverse mix, but you need to start thinking about who are the people you really want to talk to. This is your target market, remember? So start asking yourself, who is it that you really, really want to talk to? Maybe you really want to attract guys who love cooking for their families, and they've already explored lots of different things, and you now want to really attract them to Asian cooking. You know, so maybe that's the kind of people that you want to talk to. Maybe your target market is mums who are trying to do alternative cooking for their families during the week and want quick and easy Asian meals. and you have very, very specific demographic and psychographic. What is that mum? What's she into? Does she watch Grey's Anatomy? Does she read cookbooks? Does she, you know, try and really get as targeted as you can. Now, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you here. I've always been rubbish at doing target market identifying, which is why I'm probably flailing about a little bit on this point. So I recommend straight away that you go to digitalmarketer.com and look up customer avatar. They have a whole worksheet and a blog post and everything on exactly how to get really detailed with your customer avatar. I'll put the link on these show notes. It's all over my blog. Every time I talk about identifying your target market, I link to these guys because they are just absolute experts in it. But this is an important point because the more you can get into the heads of your ideal target market, the more you can identify step five, which is your brand ideal. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm going to try and keep this short because I'm running over here, but this is the part of starting a business that I get really, really excited about. Because in a minute, step six, we're going to go out and start to build your audience. And building your audience is going to be infinitely easier if A, you know who your target market is, and B, you are absolutely rock solid with your brand ideal. So, how do you get your brand ideal? Start by watching Simon Sinek's Start With Why TED Talk on YouTube. Go and watch that TED Talk on YouTube. It's all about starting with why. Why are you starting your business? What is it about your business that people are really going to resonate with? Now, this is different. This is what's going to make you unique and stand out from the crowd. Because rather than just going out and starting another blog about Asian cooking, now you're actually thinking about what's your brand ideal. So as an example, let me give you my two biggest examples that I use all the time with this. Red Bull. Red Bull is a horrifically bad for you, very unhealthy, sugary drink loaded with sugar and caffeine, right? Which is going to give you wings, apparently. But their Instagram page, if you go and look at their Instagram account, when do they ever talk about their drink? They don't. They talk about extreme sports. That's their brand ideal. They've totally and utterly connected with extreme sports. They sponsor extreme sports. You see Red Bull everywhere, all over, anything to do with extreme sports. BMX riding and skiing and hang gliding and people jumping off cliffs and all sorts of stuff. Anything to do with extreme sports, Red Bull is there. But what they sell is a horrible, sugary, yucky drink. Dove is another one. Dove is about shower gel and soap and cream and all that kind of stuff, except it's not. It's about body image. It's all about body image. It's all about being a normal, healthy, voluptuous woman, no matter what color, what creed, what size, what religion, what culture. It doesn't matter. That's what Dove is all about. It's about empowerment of the female form. And yet, what they sell is skin products, yeah, and soap and shower gel. But they've really got to grips with their brand ideal. My business, I teach people how to build a business online. I teach people how to build online video courses. I teach people how to build membership sites. I teach people how to start an e-commerce store. I teach people how to build a blog. What I'm actually teaching people is how to build a business that funds their lifestyle, how to create a freedom lifestyle, how to have the freedom of choice, how to be able to live wherever you want to live in the world, how to be able to work from wherever you want to work in the world, how to just be completely and utterly financially and physically free. That is my brand ideal. But I teach how to create a video course online. Yeah? See the difference? So what you need to be thinking about is, what is your ideal? It's not just about, I do a blog on Asian cooking. What's the absolute ideal around that? Maybe your brand ideal is that you bring families together through your cooking. Maybe that's actually the brand ideal. Maybe Asian cooking's got really nothing to do with it. The fact is that you focus on bringing families together and you create recipes and stuff that families cook together. Maybe your whole ethos is on family and reuniting the family unit and family spending time together in the evenings, and you do it all around the guise of Asian cooking. Whatever it is, whatever that means to you, but start to really consider your brand ideal, because that's what you're going to be building your audience around. And your product and offer and service almost come secondary, because people are going to resonate with your brand ideal. People are going to resonate with your worldview. Actually, Seth Godin as well is a great one to read about people's worldviews. And I think it's his book, All Marketers Are Liars, is a good one to read or go and listen to on Audible. He talks a lot about people's worldviews and how what you're doing is you're connecting with other people's worldviews. Simon Sinek talks about it as well in his Start With Why TED Talk. It's not about selling something to somebody. It's about connecting with them on a worldview level. I hope that really makes sense. It's quite deep. Can't cover it all in this podcast. But if you take anything away from this podcast today, I want you to take that away. Think about who is it that said people aren't buying the nail. They're not even buying the hole in the wall. They're buying the shelf that sits on it or something like that. I can't remember the saying. But think about what is it people are actually going to get from purchasing or buying your offer or service, and what is your big brand ideal? And as I said, with mine, people are going to get freedom. That's what I'm selling, freedom. Okay. So with that in mind, step number six, and I'm going to run through these next three steps now, is to build your audience. So we're now going to go out and we're going to start to build a community and an audience and followers around your brand. So I cannot stress this enough again. I'm going back to what I said in step one. Pick one platform. Please do not try to be everywhere straight away. You're just going to burn yourself out. Unless you've got the resources to do this and you've already got a whole load of outsourcers and a load of people that can help you, then do not go out there and say, right, I'm going to be a YouTuber and I'm going to run a podcast and I'm going to be on Pinterest and I'm going to master Instagram and I'm going to be a TikToker. Look, you can repurpose. Absolutely no doubt you can repurpose. And I talk about repurposing on my blog, and I actually give some resources for Gary Vee. That was a particularly big wave that just came in there, so I hope you heard that. But I also give some resources for Gary Vee, who talks a lot about repurposing content and making repurposing very easy. But I urge you to really prioritize one main platform. So go out, find out where your target market is, look at which platforms really resonate with your brand ideal, and then go out and become a master of that platform. So as an example, let's say you decide it's going to be Instagram. And so you're going to go onto Instagram, you're going to talk about cooking, you're going to post recipes, you're going to post little videos, you're going to post images, you're going to, you know, just constantly be mastering Instagram. You're going to be doing stories, showing you cooking the different meals, showing you creating your cookbook, all that kind of stuff. There's no reason why you can't also at the same time start a Facebook page or a Pinterest account and using if this then that, or you know, these connection widgets, share your content across those platforms. Don't even worry about doing that. I've heard of social media managers saying, oh, that's so bad, it's so amateur. But you know what? If you want to get out there and start immediately attracting more people, then do that for now until you've got the resources to go out and focus on each one individually. Even Gary Vee says, oh, you must have a different voice on each platform. Yeah, okay, when I've got the staff to do so and the money to do so. For now, there are tricks of the trade that allow you to go across all platforms without you having to be on each platform. Okay, so just go and do that until you can really get singular for each platform. But focus and master Instagram. Make that the one you do. Set up these little hacks to go everywhere, but focus on Instagram, if that makes sense. And the same if you choose YouTube, and the same if you choose Pinterest. Just go all in on that one platform. Build your audience there, and you will find it so much easier to then go and start another channel, and that audience will kind of overflow into that other channel and attract lots of other people to that other channel as well. So you'll actually, Seth Godin says, the shortcut is usually the longest route, and it's true. So if you try and shortcut this and try and do four channels at once, you probably won't get anywhere fast. But if you absolutely double down on one and really go for it, the chances are you'll build your others a lot quicker. I hope that makes sense. So once you've picked your platform, then you'll know, because it'll be platform driven, what your content's going to be. So your platform might be a podcast. So you're going to create podcasts. Your platform might be a blog. Then you've got a choice. Is it going to be a podcasting blog, a video blog, a text blog? Maybe you choose your platform is YouTube, so your most of your content is going to be video. Maybe you choose Instagram, most of your content is going to be video and images. So by picking your platform, you're going to know what your main content type is really going to be. Then you need to sit down and create yourself a bit of a content strategy. Don't overthink this. Just decide what is realistic to you. How much content can you actually publish every week? Can you publish it every day? Can you publish each week? Can you publish twice a week? You need to decide on a strategy that works for you and stick to it. This is the most important thing. Once you've decided on that strategy, it is down to you, my friend, to hold yourself accountable to stick to that. I was watching Grey's Anatomy the other day. I've only just started watching it. I'm on season 2. And Meredith, the main character, said something about, with our parents gone, she was talking about adulthood, and she said something about, with our parents gone, we now break the rules we set for ourselves. And I thought, wow, how true is that? What she was kind of saying between the lines is, we are totally responsible for our own actions now. We're adults, and we're responsible. And the thing with a lifestyle business, the thing with running your own business, is you're your own boss. You don't have somebody telling you. So you have to hold yourself accountable. So if you decide, I am going to post on a Monday and a Friday, well, then you stick that up somewhere and you start making sure you post every Monday and Friday without fail. You are your own boss. Hold yourself accountable. If you can't, get an accountability partner. And then last but not least with building your audience is you need to start building your email list. Now, I won't go into this on this podcast because I'm going to be doing some podcasts coming up that are very specific to building your email list. But for now, you can go and see my pretty hefty blog post, which is all about how to build a huge email list of hot leads for your business. I will link to that in the show notes. You can go and check that out. But just so you know, I am going to be doing 2 or 3 podcasts coming up in the next few weeks all about how to build your email list. So look out for that. All right. So number 7, we're on step 7 of how to build your online lifestyle business. We have gone through a lot. I'm not going to throw too much more at you. But what you're going to do now, so let's just have a quick recap. You've chosen your niche. You know what business you want to be in. Okay. You know what your ideal goals are and your ideal lifestyle budget. You know what it is you want to achieve. You've actually picked out how you're going to monetize your business model, and this is therefore giving you a bit of a plan of how you need to move forward. You know who your target market is, you know what your brand ideal is, what you stand for, and the kind of things that you're going to be going out there and posting that resonate with your brand ideal and your worldview and your audiences, and you've now gone and started to build an audience. So you're growing your following on whichever platform that you chose, and you're building your email list. So now it's time to develop your business model. You said you were going to sell something. What is it you're going to sell? Now's the time to start developing that. So is it that cookbook? Do you need to be creating that cookbook that you now need to be putting on your site? And with creating a cookbook, that's going to take doing the recipes, taking the pictures, designing the book, using something like Amazon or Blurb or Lulu Express to create the book, creating a little sales page and a funnel, signing up for PayPal or Gumroad or Samcart, creating a little lead generating funnel, and then putting that on your blog or your social media site or whatever for people to be able to go through and check out your sales product. So that might be it. Maybe you're doing a video course on Thinkific or Teachable. Maybe you've decided to launch a video course on Udemy and you're going to send lots of people to your Udemy link. Maybe you started a membership site. Maybe you're offering one-to-one coaching and you have a pay button for people to come and book your coaching. Maybe you've built yourself an e-commerce store and you're selling physical products. Whatever it is, now is the time to really start to develop that business model so that all this traffic that you're building and this audience that you're growing can now come and actually buy something from you. One of my very first products when I started back in 2010, actually I had a total disaster where I sold $27. That was my very first sale. I sold a little video course. I think I sold it for like $3 or something, and I sold maybe 9 of them. I don't know, I can't remember. It was about $27 I made. And then the next one, which was more of a success for me, was a video course I sold called 2,000 Fans in 27 Days. So I'd spent a few months helping people build their Facebook pages and teaching people how to use Facebook to grow an email list. And I'd built my own email list and I'd built an audience on Facebook and my profile and brand was growing. And so I felt, okay, now's the time to go out and sell a course. And I created this video course called 2,000 Fans in 27 Days. And I sold it for around $37, $47. And I did super well. I mean, I think we did maybe $30,000 worth of sales over 2 or 3 months out of that first course. I then went on to launch my membership site the following April, and by now I had close to 20,000 people on my email list, 20,000 people on my Facebook page. I'd really built my audience over that time, and I did $117,000 in a 7-day launch. So that's the power of building your audience, building that trust, resonating with those people that share your worldview, your brand ideal, and then launching a product that they want. I didn't know that my audience wanted 2,000 fans in 27 days until I'd built that audience and got a lot of feedback and learned what it is they were looking for. And then I was able to create this great video product that sold really, really well. So step number 7 is beginning to develop your business model. And on my How to Start Your Life-Changing Online Lifestyle Business blog post, I have links to a whole host of different business models that you can go and have a look at. So for instance, I've got how to create your six-figure online course, how to create a membership site, how to do affiliate marketing, how to crush affiliate marketing, how to self-publish on Amazon, how to become an influencer without wearing a bikini, by the way, how to start freelancing, how to become a life coach, how to start a digital marketing agency, how to start a software as a service business, how to make money blogging, how to make money podcasting, how to start an e-commerce business. I have basically got all of these different posts on my blog for you to go and have a look at. And I'll also be covering quite a lot of this in upcoming podcasts, how to develop the different business models, okay? I also have a huge mammoth post on my site with over 189 different lifestyle business ideas. Again, I will link to that in the show notes if you're still not 100% sure, and hopefully you can get some inspiration from there. So number 7 is develop your business model. And then last but not least, number 8 is to scale and diversify. What I mean by that is now you're starting to make sales, you're really growing your brand and your business, you're starting to make repeat sales, maybe you've achieved your goal of your $5,000 a month. So now you're going to start to outsource some of that, build yourself a team, and add different income streams. So let's go back to the cooking analogy. Maybe your first thing was a cookbook, then you decided to add some other recipe style books, maybe, you know, a kitchen calendar. Maybe you've decided to become an Amazon affiliate and sell some kitchen products. Maybe you've decided to add drop shipping and selling your own kitchen products. Maybe you're doing some brand sponsorship or you're doing some advertising. But you see what I mean? You started with one, you focused in on one, you started to monetize that one, and then you began to add different income streams as you were able to build a team, outsource some of the jobs, and therefore begin to expand your brand and grow your business faster. Because you will grow your business faster. The more people you can get on board, the more jobs you can outsource. It just means that as a team, you're going to be able to achieve things a lot faster. So there you have it, my friend. That is the 8 steps to building your life-changing online lifestyle business. It's been a lot. It's been a big podcast. But as I said, this is all backed up with a huge 17,000 word blog post. So you can go and kind of follow along with that blog post. In fact, you may have caught this podcast that's embedded in that blog post, or you may be listening to this on a different app. Whichever, go and check out the post. Plus, you can, of course, go and grab my free ebook. I think it's at the bottom of the post. Just click on the image. And that's my 30 days to building your online life. And that goes through all of this in massive detail. I mean, it really breaks it down, and you can take it one step at a time. The last two things I'm just going to say to you before I leave you. Number one, you have to take action. The biggest reason that people aren't building their businesses is simply because they get stuck at one or more of these junctures and they just stop. Rather than actually going out and taking the action needed, they literally just stop and they procrastinate and they don't know what to do next. And so they just kind of stop. It all becomes a bit too hard. Well, I want to give you a strategy for getting over the fact that it becomes a bit too hard, because it becomes a bit too hard for all of us. Right now, I'm right in the middle of trying to guest post and do outreach and stuff like that to build backlinks to my site. And it is hard, and it's not that great either. But sometimes you just have to move through the stuff that isn't great to get to the stuff that is great. So a little source of inspiration, I hope, for you. When I start, I have a huge bucket list. I have a huge bucket list of all the things I want to achieve and do in my life. And every time it all gets a little bit too difficult and I'm not sure whether I can do it or what I want to do next, I go through that and I remind myself why I'm doing it. So take your BHAG, take your big, hairy, audacious goal, take your plans, take your ideal lifestyle, visualize them as much as possible. Put them into pictures, create yourself a bucket list. Just visualize everything you really, really want in your life. And that is what's going to get you through those really tough days when it's going to get too hard. Other than that, of course, come and join the Your Lifestyle Business Facebook group if you're not already a member, because we're in there to help you, network, talk to you, keep you motivated, hold you accountable, and all that kind of stuff. So I hope that this podcast has been useful and that you've been able to hear me over the waves. I think I'm going to have some chicken satay now while sitting on the beach, do a blog post or two on my blog, have a little Diet Coke or a soda water, get a bit of sunbaking in, and generally enjoy my lifestyle, as we should all be doing. Have an amazing day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you again on my next podcast. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To join in the conversation, please head over to yourlifestylebusiness.com, where you can find links to podcasts, show notes, and sign up to download my free ebook, How to Build a Business You Can Run from Anywhere in the World. Also, make sure you come and join our Facebook community. Just search for Your Lifestyle Business on Facebook, and you'll soon be sharing ideas with like-minded entrepreneurs all on the same journey. Lastly, if you have a moment, please subscribe and quickly rate this podcast on iTunes. It takes a tenth of a second to hit the little stars, and your rating will ensure it gets out to more people and impacts as many as possible with the message, make it happen. Thank you so much. See you next time.